Okay. In Ontario, we are doing a few church plants, the vineyard is, and one of them is in Toronto, and it's called Praxis. That's the name of the church, and it's in Leslieville in Toronto. If you're wondering where Leslieville is, it is near Leslie Avenue. it's down by the beaches, on the east side of Toronto, down there. And this is the fine couple that planted it. They were pastoring at the St. John Vineyard in New Brunswick, and they really felt pushed, nudged, whatever you want to call it, a call from God to be going to a major urban center to plant. And so you imagine going from St. John, New Brunswick to scary. And so they went there a year and a half ago, and it's like a neighbor, their vision is that there'd be a number of neighborhood churches that would be planted throughout Toronto, because to do a church plant, it's not as simple in Toronto as just going, let's buy some land and we'll build a church and that, because you know what the prices of homes are and property in Toronto is, it's crazy. So anyway, they're there. Robin, great guy. Their church is about, I forget what the size of it is, but like we're talking like maybe 20, because it's taking time, the way his vision is and how he's building this. Great couple, great heart, and I want us to take a small little team down and bless them. That's what I want to do. I've already talked to them, and so we're going to do this on Sunday, February 21st. They have their time together. They gather at 4:30 in a house, and they start off with eating, and I'd like to bless them with being able to bring food, but they don't want that because they see us as guests. So I'm heading Toronto bound February 21st. So if you go, you know what, I'd like to be on that. I'd like to do that too. Let me know. And why are we doing it? We're doing it just because they need support. They really do. And speaking of just because, so if you want to go, seriously, this is a time to bless them, to come along, and just because just to have other faces from the broader Vineyard family is so important for them. And while it's Toronto has, what, almost 3 million people, sometimes you can feel lonely there. So, and it's a little bit different than St. John. Just a little bit. Anywho, just because, yes, you'll notice in your bulletin there's an insert. Normally what we would do, we'd have a jar and we'd have ask you to put your change in, and the staff at the end of the month would buy gifts, and we'd, you know, blast the congregation with gifts at the last Sunday. Little change this year, and the change is we'd like you to ask God, who would you like me to surprise just because? Who could I surprise just because? And you take a look around, you see a face, and it's not a matter of, oh, I'll surprise my friend. No, it's blessing somebody maybe you haven't talked to, or maybe you've only said hi to, and you go and you do something for them on the next Sunday, or that Sunday if it is. And there's various ideas, from buying them a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, bringing that in, find out what they like. or there's a myriad of ideas. Now, Chris did mention in there in the little insert that it needs to be appropriate. That makes sense, right? So it's not looking for a date, that type of thing. So we don't do that, right? And but if you like to bake something. If you're a crafty person and you like to make something, do that for someone. If whatever, you know, you could also write out a little coupon that says, next snowfall we have, I'll come and shovel. It's probably a win for you, because the way things are going, you might not have to. But saying that, you know what else could happen too, right? Boom. And guess what? They're cashing in their coupon to shovel, have their driveway shoveled. And you want to pick to see who has the smallest driveway, right? There's all that. There's no. Yeah, I know. I'm just playing. But there's all those ideas. You could either just write a note telling them how you appreciate who they are. Not what they do, but who they are as a person, right? Because that can help. So aim to do one thing This is my challenge for you. Aim to do one thing every week for the rest of this month. And hopefully that will become an MO for you, how you live your life, modus operandi, right? You go about looking how you can bless someone, how you can come alongside them and surprise them with something to put a smile on their face. So try it. Try it. It's not bad. And be ready to receive as well, okay? Arms open, ready to receive. And this leads us to what I want to talk to you about today. Because every time you do something like that, where you go and you give someone a word like that, you fill their heart, okay? You fill their heart. And I'm calling today's title, our message, Living from a Full Heart. And what you do is you encourage. And encourage. Now, we have taken the stinger out of, not the stinger, that's not, we've taken the strong potency of that word. We use it flippantly. Not sometimes, when I say that, I mean that in a good way. I encourage you to go and, you know, and go say hi to that person. I encourage you to, you know, give. I encourage you to do this. I encourage you, and we can think, you know, encourage can just be another word for, I'd like you to go and do something. And encourage is much stronger, because encourage speaks to making a heart full. Making it full. It talks about, encouraging is talking about, because that's part of a French word, right? That's the root of it. Cœur is heart, right? And is putting something in. And it's putting something into somebody's heart. And you also see the word, you take the N off, you get courage, right? Courage is that confidence, because courage speaks of putting in confidence, putting in support, putting in strengthening somebody, inner resolve. That's what it speaks of. And here's the neat thing. In courage, if you take a look at, pay attention to Scripture is loaded with it, like loaded in the sense of our call to encourage one another and to encourage. So important. It's so vital for us, because encourage is about, when you encourage someone, you actually come alongside someone and be with them and help them. That's what you're doing by putting words in. You're technically coming alongside someone and giving them the support they need, helping them, right? That's what you're doing. You're coming alongside, and that is so vital. We need it. I almost was, I was, this is what I was thinking, that there are, no, I won't say it just in case someone says, you know what Scott said? God has put something in place in human beings that he won't fill. And while we could say, you know, God encourages me, he's my encourager, we need a human being to encourage us. We need a person to do that. And God has designed it so that that's the way it has to be. We need to be fed by other people. I need it. You need it. We all need it. Every human being needs that. Every human being needs that. So we're going to do a little exercise right now. I want you to imagine, and Donna, I could get you to just to hand these out. You're going to be given a little piece of paper. Find a pencil. If you have a pen or a pencil on you, or look in your pocket on the chair, dig around in there carefully. I want you to privately, on your own, right now, if you look deep in your heart, and if your heart had a gauge like a gas gauge, and encourage speaks of having a full heart, where would that be for you? What are you right now, today, this morning, at 11:15 a.m., where are you? And see up here where there's a line that's just through there. I want you to mark the gauge wherever you think it would, wherever it is for you, and then fold that paper up a couple of times, and then Donna's going to come along and collect those, okay? I hope we have enough of those papers. We do? Okay. Thank you for that encouragement. So that's all you do. You just take it and mark on the gauge where you are right now. where you are, and be honest. Okay, be honest. While that's being handed out, here's just a little side note about being honest. It's okay to say, well, in Christ, I'm full. Yeah, I know. How are you right now? Because you can't get to the, you can't identify something unless you actually acknowledge it. Right? No. In Scripture, there's a lot of stories when it comes to encouragement. Here's one. Here's a picture where I believe is a strong story of encouragement. Remember the story of Moses? And there was a battle going on, and as long as he held his hands up, the Israelites were winning. And when they got tired, they came down, and Miriam and Aaron came alongside and helped. That is encouragement. I don't want to read into that story as far as, you know, that Moses was becoming discouraged in that, and maybe he was. But that, coming alongside someone and you're actually holding their hand up, so to speak, to help them, that's encouragement. But one story I want to talk about a bit, it has to do with Moses, and it has to do when they were in the desert, they were heading to the promised land. And they sent the spies to spy out the promised land. Anyway, long story short, you know, they all came back. 10 said, no way can we go. They decided they weren't going to go. They wouldn't be able to take it. God was ticked with the Israelites, ticked with Moses too. Not sure why, but he was ticked with Moses. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it starts with the preparation that, you know, because they wandered 40 years in the desert, right? And God said some things, and I want you to pay attention to what God is speaking here. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 37 and 38, it says, "And the Lord was also angry with me," that's Moses, "because of you." That's speaking to the Israelites. "He said to me, 'Moses, not even you will enter the promised land. Instead, your assistant Joshua, son of Nun, will lead the people into the land. Encourage him. Encourage him, for he will lead Israel as they take possession of it.'" There's a word there that God's speaking to Moses that Joshua is going to have to be prepared when he enters into the promised land. And what he's calling Moses to do as the elder person, as the elder leader, is I want you to look at Joshua, and I want you to come alongside Joshua and help him. I want you to come along and speak words into him. I want you to build his heart. I want you to fill up his heart, because he's going to need it, Moses. That's what he's calling for. And hey, let me tell you something. For you, anyone here who's 50 and up, take a look around at the younger people. They need us to come alongside and encourage them. They need it. They need it. This idea that, you know, older people have their certain type of service, younger people have their types. No way. Disagree. I believe one of the most perfect, picture-perfect type of gatherings was April and I, our first kinship we ran. And it was multi-generational. We had everybody from Carolee, and I forget they're from South Africa. Anyway, them who were a young couple, married couple in their mid-20s, to Joan Manley, and everything in between, couples and singles and everything. And we got encouragement from the older people like Joan Manley as far as, hey, don't be too surprised by life, right? Yeah, it gets hard, but it gets better, right? And we need people who are going to come alongside. If you're 50 plus, we need you. The young people need you. Younger people need you to know that they can get through and make it. Anyway, let's get back to Joshua here. So Moses is told, you're going to need to encourage him, Moses. You're going to need to encourage Joshua. And then a couple chapters later, it's time to, God tells Moses, I want you now to commission Joshua. And here it speaks dually as far as what encourage speaks about, encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead the people across the Jordan. And again, that word of come alongside him and prepare him for this. And then, of course, we come to the book of Joshua. And if you, Joshua 1 is they're about to enter into the promised land. And let me read to you. And I want you to pay attention to these words and watch. Not only is had Moses been commissioned to, you know, encourage and strengthen Joshua, God also speaks words of encouragement to us. You know, I when Jesus said, remember when he was tempted in the desert and he said to the devil, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? It's easy to think that means scripture. But I believe when God speaks to us, when he speaks and the importance of why we need to take time to listen, to let him speak, to hear him. When we were here worshiping, singing our songs, God was speaking to us. But when he speaks, God speaks encouragement. He fills hearts. He's a heart filler, right? He fills up hearts with his love. His words strengthen. They don't tear down, right? His words strengthen. But listen to this. I'm going to read the first 9 verses of Joshua 1. It says this, that after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. Listen to the words now. I promise you what I promised Moses, that wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Going back up there, I promise you what I promised Moses, that wherever you set foot, right? I promise you what I promised Moses. There's that encouragement for Joshua that God wants him to remember, that what I promised Moses, I'm promising you. Same thing. There's that he's putting in. And then he continues, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. That's encouragement. I am with you. See, and there's something about when a human being comes up beside you and says, I am with you. I am with you. I will walk with you through this. That's encouragement. That's filling someone's heart. And we need that from time to time. It goes on, starting at verse 6. God speaks to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Courage is that full heart, because courageous people have a full heart that even when faced with danger, they can do the right thing. Even when faced with difficult circumstances, they can choose to do the right thing. That's being courageous. He says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Again, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Encouragement. You will be successful. You will be able to do this. Right? Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. And he says, this is my command, Joshua. This is my command here for you. Be strong and courageous. And again, he's speaking words of affirmation into him. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And we'll talk about that in just in a minute. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Jesus' last words before he ascended into heaven with his disciples was, right? Go into all the world. And at the end, I will be with you wherever you go. I'll be with you. Okay? Now, here's an interesting thing. I find this very interesting. See, I think we need to bring, as a church, we need to bring the potency back of that word encouragement in our world and in the church itself as well. We need to demonstrate to the world what that word really means and the power it has in it. Because it's very potent. If you do a word study, and a word study simply means you look at the, try to look, find what's the original word, what does it mean, how was it meant, understood back then. Okay. Here's what I want you to look at. Okay. So the word encourage in the Greek, the word for the Greek for that means encourage is parakaleo. Okay, parakaleo. Para means coming alongside. Now in John 14 and 15 and 16, Jesus talks about that the Father's going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he uses two descriptors to describe the Holy Spirit. One, helper, the other one, advocate. The word that's used for that is parakletos, something like that. Connie and George would be able to correct me. You know what I mean. That, the Holy Spirit at that point was talked to, it means one who he comes alongside us and he walks with us. So when Jesus said, go into the world, I'll be with you, the Holy Spirit is with you. He comes alongside, he supports, he teaches, he instructs. You'll know what to say. It was a promise that God said, I will be with you always, always, always. Never leave you. Doesn't mean Jesus never promised that. That meant that you can equate that with life is going to be rosy. Uh-uh. What it does mean is that whatever you got to face, I will be with you. The best story for me, the best experience I had understanding that was when April had a twisted bowel. This goes back a number of years. We were having a national gathering here, leaders gathering, and I got a call that she had been my son had taken her to the hospital. She was in intense pain, got there, and the surgeon came in and said, we're going to have to do surgery because we got to find out what's going on, whether there's a blockage or whatever. And he said, you got to sign some papers. One was, we don't know what we're going to find. We may do a colonoscopy. May have to do that if that's the case. And there was something, I don't know, something else. Anyway, and you know, he said, but let's not worry about it till we, you know, he was a great doctor. And he left, and I remember sitting there with April in the bed, and I said, God, I'd really love you to be able to heal her. Right now, like really. And I told you something. Some of you remember the story. And I said, God, I want to pray for healing. And I said, and I asked him, will you heal her? And I just had a sense that she's not going to be healed. No, she's not going to be healed the way you're thinking, Scott. But I'll be with you as you walk through this. I was like, okay. And so. The next morning, she went in for surgery, and I was sitting in the waiting room in the OR in Cambridge Hospital, and, you know, beautiful, nice, warm colors in those rooms, right? Not at all, just a very, you know, cold, just lonely place. And I was the only one in there, and, you know, you're hearing all these little, well, not noises, you're hearing little on the PA system, you know, and you're mind's going all over the place, right? And it's like, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just praying, and I'm asking God also to just, you know, give me peace in that. And son of a gun, some of you know him, some of you don't. Walked around the corner was Brad Culver, walked in the room. Like of all the people to walk in, it was like, oh my gosh, how'd that happen? I didn't tell you. And he had just happened to phone the office to he wanted to talk to me. They said what they told him what happened, and he just came down. That was I will be with you in the flesh. Like literally, that was Emmanuel in the flesh for me. That's what I'm speaking about, that when this whole thing of encouragement is potent and it is strong. It is strong. It's a powerful thing. And here's what I want you to understand. Here's one thing I want you to, thank you so much. Here's one thing I want you to understand is that there is power in words, guys. I mean, there is huge power. Huge. And if you doubt it, I want you to think of a time you were given an encouraging word and what it did to you. How it changed something here. How it just. And I also want you to think of when you were given a discouraging word, what that did for you. Because words have the power to inflate, to pour into, and words have the power suck everything out. In an instant, they can do that. That powerful. And throughout Scripture, you read over and over again, encourage one another. Encourage different leaders in the Bible had people that came around and encouraged them and helped them. Different people facing difficult times, people came in and encouraged them. And we need that. Words are so important. As I was working through this week, I was thinking of, you don't hear this saying much more anymore, but my mom's saying it, that if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Right? Do you everybody remember that one? What's that? Oh, okay. There you go. Oh, is that right? There you go. See? I'll have to watch that and see that. Had I known, I would have had that clip up here. Our words have the power, Lord, guys, to fill hearts, and our words have the power to deplete hearts as well. We need encouragement. We need to encourage one another. We need to encourage the people that are in our sphere of influence. Because here's the fact of the matter. So we hand all those things out. One in us marked full. One. Take a look around the room. One. About 37 below half. 37 below half. See, we're so good at managing what state we're at, when we come on a Sunday. We may dress casual, but boy, we still. Showtime. Make it look good. There was 44 in the above half mark. Three marked empty. That's sad, right? But that's reality. That's reality. Listen, you won't ever overdo it with encouraging one another. Never. We never will. Never. We're going to transition into communion soon. There's a passage in Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 4. It's a good passage. 35. You mark that one down. First four verses. And it says this, "Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. And the deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God." And then in verse 3 and 4 it says, "With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands. And encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear." Be strong and do not fear. In here, we have the power. We have the power. Fill people up. Speak words of life into their heart. People need it. You know, one of the beauty things of both when as Gene was serving down in the storehouse and now with Christine and George down there is leading it both, you know. One thing both do very well is how they extend dignity and encourage people who knows where they might say they're below E. Who knows? For some folks who are going through such difficult circumstances in their life. And you know, both I've seen Gene be able to look eyeball to eyeball, say their name, and bring a smile. Right? And that does everything. That filled. And Christine, well, she's Tigger, right? You saw her this morning. She can't help but bounce. But she does that. And George, he's like that on the street. I saw him this Wednesday. I was down there at the bus terminal with them, and there's George praying for some guy, you know? And just looking at him, eyeball to eyeball, knows his name. In fact, I even think they gave him a ride someplace afterwards, I think. Doesn't matter. Speak words of encouragement. And, you know the thing we didn't touch on? How do you get out of discouragement, eh? How do you get out of it? How do you get out of it? We don't have time for that. But let me say this. The importance of spending quiet time with God, and I don't mean reading a devotional and doing stuff like that. That's good. I mean sitting and allowing the Holy Spirit, just sort of like what we do here on a Sunday morning, but letting the Holy Spirit come and speak to you. Letting Him speak words to you. So important. The other thing I think is important as well, and it's said in the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. Love your neighbor as yourself. So often we're the hardest on ourselves. So we are. And sometimes we need to learn to love ourselves. We need to see ourselves as God sees us. You know, it's so important. So important, you know. So important. Helen, you had a hand up? Sure you can.
Some of you may know Esther Cressman. She's 88. She used to go here. She's getting frail. Her memory is going. She's quite bent over with osteoporosis. She's had a number of falls. I'm going to cry. And she needs to go to a nursing home. And I've been helping her just a little bit. Others have been helping her an awful lot more. But the day before I was there, CCIC, who are the ones that place people in nursing homes, had interviewed her. And so I was talking to her about that, and she's not very thrilled about going to a nursing home. But we talked about it, and I kind of threw a cold blanket and said, oh yeah, CCAC. You know, it's really a game with them. Like, it's almost like a chess game. You don't know, you know, how it works and how they're going to place you or things like that. And Esther paused. Esther, sorry to back up, she has been a missionary all her life. And she has just lived by faith. She is just one of these women that just glows with the Lord. But anyway, she paused for a bit when I said this about it being a game. And then all of a sudden she went, praise the Lord! God has a plan, she says. It's not a game. And I thought, wow, there is an encouraging word. And for any of you that feel that life is a game and you've got to figure it out and how you're going to win over your opponent and so on, just praise the Lord. That's the way out of it. And recognize it's not a game. God is in control.
And that's from someone who has been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, washed it again, and bought and worn it, and she knows. It's so true. We're going to move into a time of communion at this point. And Krista, if you could come up, that'd be. There she is. Jesus, if you read the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus was always about filling people's hearts. His words he spoke to people were always about filling hearts. The only time he did a tap dance on people was the religious folks who forgot the core of the message and were draining people's hearts all the time with all the demands and religiosity and legalism and ostracizing them and he would do a tap dance on them. But other than that, he spoke words that filled people's hearts. One of the most beautiful chapters in the Gospels is written by in the Gospel of John, and he recounts the story of the last meal that they had together. And it's found in John 13. And what's interesting is John identifies himself in that gospel 5 different times as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Who knows how many times Jesus poured into John, and John just drank it up. That was his strength for him, those words. Jesus modeled what it means. And as you go through John chapter 13, it starts out that Jesus loved his disciples, and he loved them right to the end. He loved them to the full, it says, at the very end there. And one of the things Jesus did that was so honoring, that was so moving, was that they were in the room, the Passover meal was prepared, and Jesus took the towel, took the wash basin, and he knelt down before each disciple's feet, and he washed them, and he washed their feet. He, who was master, should have had his feet washed by the disciples, but he wanted them to know a number of things. Who knows what he wanted them to know, but he wanted them to know that, hey, I love you, because love will serve, right? He was modeling what love is. Love will serve, right? Love will serve. And he washed their feet, probably looked at them in the eyeball to eyeball, probably said their name. I would imagine he probably told them, I love you. You know that, eh? You know I love you, as he washed their feet. You know, one of the best things we do, if you want to look at it symbolically, the words we choose when we speak to one another, does it wash? Does it wash feet? Does it serve? What does it do? But Jesus washed their feet, washed the dirt off. And then it goes down, they had the meal. And that Jesus said to them, you call me master, and you're right. And as students, as my disciples, you do what the master does. And so I want you to do to one another as I've done to you. I want you to serve one another. I want you to wash each other's feet. And he said to them, I'm giving you a new command. New command. Love one another. That's the command. Love one another. That's a command. That's a command from Jesus, to love one another. And he's God who fills our hearts. He fills our hearts, right? He's the life giver.